Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Datamatics Global Services Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Prateek Jagtap from EY IR. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Prateek.
Thank you, Carol. Good evening to all participants in the call today. Welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings call of Datamatics Global Services Limited. The results and presentations have been already mailed to you, and it is also available on the website of the Datamatics. In case anyone has not received a copy of this release and presentation, please do write to us, and we will be happy to send you all. To take us through the results today and to answer your questions, we have with us top management of the company, represented by Rahul Kanodia, Vice Chairman and CEO, Sandeep Mantri, EVP and Chief Financial Officer, and Mitul Mehta, EVP and Chief Marketing Officer. Rahul will start the call with brief overview of the quarter on business, which will be then followed by Sandeep talking on financials. We will then open the floor for question and answer session. I would like to remind you that anything that's said on this call, which gives any outlook for the future or which can be construed as forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that we face. These risks and uncertainties are included, but not limited to, what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual reports, which you can find on our website. With that said, I now hand over the call to Rahul, sir. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Prateek, and a very warm welcome, and thank you everyone for joining our quarter one FY24 earnings call. I will briefly discuss some of the quarterly performance highlights, while Sandeep will provide an update on the financials. I'm happy with the overall performance of the business. We have started the year on a strong note with respect to both revenue and profitability. Our revenue stood at 391.1 crores, which is a growth of 19.6% on a year-on-year basis. Our EBIT stood at 58.6 crores, compared to 39.3 crores in the same period last year. This translates to a growth of 49.2% in our EBIT, which is a very healthy growth. Although our revenue declined by 6.1% and margins by 3.1% on a sequential quarter basis, this is not a concern because quarter four always tends to be a strong quarter for us due to the cyclicality of some of our projects, and quarter one, the salary hikes kick in. In Q1 of FY24, we added 14 customers. Most of them are in the U.S. and European markets. On a year-on-year basis, our active pipeline has increased by 58% and 35% on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Additionally, we are also working on a few ASC opportunities, which we believe we are in a good position to win. Our strategy of focusing on hyperscalers is progressing well. We have deepened our relationship with Microsoft, Salesforce, and AWS, and have signed a new relationship with Cloudbotics, a company focused on low-code, no-code development. These have started generating good opportunities for us. Artificial intelligence is transforming how we live and conduct our business. We have been investing in our AI capabilities, and generative AI has only redoubled those efforts. We are constantly incorporating AI into our technologies, operations, and experiences business, and as well as the product business. We are investing in establishing a robust AI center of excellence. The COE aims to enable enterprises to build and implement their professional enterprise-wide AI roadmap. The COE has built multiple AI accelerators in automation, software coding, customer experience, and employee experience to speed up AI implementation. We are also incorporating artificial intelligence in our operations across all three lines of business. In digital technologies, the team is implementing AI-enabled copilot development to improve productivity across all stages of software development lifecycle. We have also enhanced our product, TruBot and TruCap, with generative AI. This will deliver enhanced benefits of automation and productivity for our customers. In digital operations, Datamatics has implemented AI in the enterprise document management domain. Today, Datamatics is processing 15 million annual report pages for global credit rating agencies and analysis firms using AI-powered document processing. We see the opportunities to increase productivity across digital operations business. In the digital experiences area, the team has built an AI-enabled customer service chatbot for L1 and L2 support, delivering a high level of omni-channel customer experience. These initiatives reinforce our commitment to the customers to go deep in digital in the transformation journey. In conclusion, all the three segments are on a strong path and will continue to perform in the coming quarters. Due to the macroeconomic factors, we see some slowness in decision-making on the customer side, and we had factored it in when we had given a guidance of about 14 to 15% growth for this current financial year. Given the strong pipeline that we have, we are confident that as the year progresses, we will maintain our growth momentum and our margins will be stable. With that, I will now hand over our call to our CFO, Sandeep Mantri. Sandeep, over to you.
Thank you, Rahul. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us in Q1 FY24 earning call. Our quarter one FY24 revenue, as explained by Rahul, stood at 391.1 crore, which is a growth of 19.6% on a YOY basis and a decline by 6.1% on a sequential basis. Our consolidated EBITDA for this quarter was at 67.8 crore, which is up 41.8% on a YOY basis. Our EBITDA margin for the quarter is at 17.3% as compared to 14.6% in the last year same quarter. On a sequential basis, however, there was a slight decline from 20.2% to 17.3%. Please note that full year EBITDA for FY22-23 was 16.6% and we are in Q1, we are at 17.3%. So we are in line with our expectation. Our consolidated EBIT for the quarter was at 58.6 crore. Which is up 49.2% on a YOY basis. EBIT margin was at 15% as compared to 12% in the last year, same quarter. On a sequential basis, EBIT margin dropped from 18.1% to 15%, primarily due to salary increments and investment in products and development. Our other income on a consolidated basis stood at 9.1 crore, which is primarily growing because of exchange gain loss. Our quarterly PAT after NCI was at 55.1 crore, which is a decline of 7.8% on a sequential basis and a growth of 26.9% on a YOY basis. Our tax rate for this quarter was in line with our expectation at 18.7%. If we talk about EPS, our EPS for the quarter was at 9.34 rupees per share, which is higher than last year's same period, which was at 7.36 per share. Talking about segment-wise revenue performance, our digital operations revenue was at 167 crores, which is a growth of 13.2% on a YOY basis. Digital operations EBIT margin was at 20.1%, and its contribution to digital operation contribution to total revenue was 43%. When we talk about digital experience, the revenue was at 66.2 crores, a growth of 43% on YOY basis. EBIT margin was at 23% and contribution to total revenue was 17%. Digital technologies revenue was at 157.9 crore, a growth of 18.6% on a YOY basis. Digital technologies EBIT margin was at 6.2%. Last year in the same period, if you remember, we were at negative 4.3%. So we have a marked improvement in the performance of digital technology business. The contribution of technology business to total revenue was 40%. We continue to maintain a healthy balance sheet. As of June 30, 2023, our total cash and investments stood at 555 crore compared to 498 crore in the last quarter. So we have added almost like 57 crores in our cash and investment. Our DSO was at 60 days as of June 23 as compared to 67 days in the last quarter, which is March 23. In terms of geographical footprint, U.S. remains our largest geography with 55% contribution coming from US, followed by India at 24%. Rest of the world, including UK and Europe, was at 21%. In terms of industry footprint, BFSI continued to remain the largest segment for us, which include 25% of our revenue, followed by education and publishing and technology and consulting. Both segments stood at 20%. Then manufacturing, infra and logistics was at 12%. Non-profit or non-government organization was at 10%. Retail contributed 9% of our business, and other segments are 4% of our total revenue. If we talk about client concentration, it is very healthy, with top 5, 10 and 20 clients contributing to 25, 38% and 52% respectively. So these are the financial updates. With this, I will now pass on the call to operator to open the floor for question. Thank you for your patience and continued interest in Datamatics. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of MK Reddy from MR Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is regarding this product business. When I look at the global companies, they spend R&D around 15 to 20% and sales and marketing up to 40%. But we are conservative in spending of product development business, as we guided in the previous calls, 40 to 50 crores. Just want to understand whether we are spending less when compared to global peers, or is there any cost advantage we are getting because we are based in India? That's my first question.
We are not spending less. It was very important to get a core set of initial clients, and that's what we were doing. We've enhanced our product substantially. Now we've incorporated generative AI into the product as well. This year, we're very confident that we will have a good run because we've signed up some very marquee logos. If you may recollect our previous IR calls, we did say that additional revenues that flow in will be invested in sales and marketing. So we will increase the sales and marketing spend as the revenues grow and sort of be more in line with the other competitors in the industry.
Yeah, very helpful. Second question is regarding this. When I looked at the presentation, there was no information regarding this fixed price projects and time and material contracts. Is there any update regarding this?
I didn't follow the question. You were asking something about fixed price and time and material, but I could not ask.
How much of our projects are fixed price, and how many of our contracts are time and material contracts? That you could show.
We don't keep that data in our, right now we are not started, you know, for keeping the data for investor call for obvious reason. So we will continue with the same position. We will not disclose this data of time and material and fixed price, but we will see later on.
I don't have an exact number to give you, but I imagine it's a decent balance between the two. But I don't have the number handy.
Yeah, my last question is regarding this. Many of the global peers are moving from in product business, moving from license based to SaaS based models. For example, if I look at Temenos, they are 100% of their offerings are now SaaS based, so they are not selling any more licenses. Just want to know what is our contribution in product business, which is 40% of our revenue. How much is regarding this license, and how much is we are receiving from this subscription based revenue?
So our product business is not 40% of our revenue. That's not correct. We by and large don't disclose the specific revenue stream from products. Having said that, we do not do licenses. All our things are on what it is called subscription basis. So it's an annual subscription, and today all our products are on SaaS model. So they are hosted, and customers use it as a hosted service. So the entire platform is SaaS, and it is an annual subscription, not a one-time license.
Okay. When you say SaaS, that how much is the sales cycle long and implementation cycle?
Sorry, your line is not clear. Could you repeat that, please?
Yeah, in our part of business, whatever our typical deal size is and sales cycle, how much implementation cycles do you, how much time it takes? Yeah, from product being license being sell and the product to go live.
So the product to go live from the time of deal closure is about like 2 weeks. So that's not very long. Very often these are 3 year deals, so it gives you a steady revenue at least for the foreseeable 2 to 3 years. The deal sizes have started increasing. Earlier, in the initial period, they used to be in the range of about 50,000, 60,000. Then it went up to about 100 to 200,000. Now we're getting deals at about $500,000. One-off cases, we also get $1 million, $1.5 million deals. So we are steadily seeing the deal sizes increasing, which is a very, very healthy sign. Some of the logos that we've signed are absolutely marquee logos, global Fortune companies. And those companies have deep pockets, so I'm sure that once we engage with them, those deal sizes will increase.
Okay, thanks. I will be back in.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak from Wisworth Investment. Before that, I'd like to remind participants, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. Over to you.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Would like to understand when you say this year we will have a good growth compared to industry. What give us confidence that this year we will have the growth? And second question is, the March was an aberration in terms of performance, or going forward we will have sort of similar margin, etc.
Sure. So let me answer the second question first. So every year our quarter four tends to be higher because we have some elements of seasonal business. So because the seasonal business kicks in quarter four, for us, Q4 is always higher than, say, Q3 or Q1. There's always a slight dip in Q1 compared to Q4 usually. Last March was a little higher than normal, but nevertheless, it was healthy. And therefore, you see Q1 a little subdued compared to, a little muted compared to Q4. However, if you compare to year-on-year, we've had a 19.6% growth on revenue and a 49.2% growth on EBIT. Now, to your first question on what gives us the confidence, you see our pipeline of deals has grown 60% almost from Q1 of last year. And if you see on Q4 of last year, it's grown 35%. So the pipeline has grown extremely well, and that gives us confidence that we will certainly hit our numbers, if not even surpass them. In Q1 so far, we've grown 19.6%, which is quite healthy given that we were looking at a 15% growth for the whole year.
And even our Q1 EBIT margins are higher than the last year full year average. It is almost 1%, approximately 1% higher than last year average.
Yeah, and within segment, which segment we think will have a higher growth and which segment will have lower growth, and whether the last year average margin is maintainable this year or we will have some upside because of the scale and...
So I think as the year progresses, all the three segments will have more or less, you know, similar growth. The margin which was there last year, I think we will maintain or improve slightly on the margin thing for this year, for FY23-24.
So if you see the investor deck, which you may or may not have right now, our digital experiences have the highest growth in 43% in percentage terms, followed by digital technologies and then followed by digital operations. I do believe that our digital technologies will be very healthy for the year. In terms of margins, as Sandeep Mantri mentioned, we should see a stable margin, in fact, slightly better. So we should improve over last year, for sure.
one last question, if I may ask. On the digital technology side, we are growing good and we are focusing a lot. So any new product which where the it is at the home, we will we, which, by which we can have a good revenue bump up.
Not products, because we are still largely a services company. As I mentioned in my address, that we are focusing on the hyperscalers, which is Microsoft, Salesforce, and AWS, and we've seen a very good pipeline coming from that area. So we expect that to drive the growth for this year.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. Wish you all the best.
Yeah, on a long-term basis, we will also see AI kicking in, but this is too early because AI is still being sort of explored in the world. You know, the whole world is sort of figuring out what to do with it. So, thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I'd like to remind participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Ramesh Bajaj, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity. So I have two questions. One is related to the AFC business. So can you all throw some light on the AFC business?
So the AFC business, we have gone live with the line 2A and line 7. We just started working on line 2B. These are deals that we had won recently. In terms of the pipeline, we have two or three large RFPs coming in. We will be bidding for them, and we are very confident that we'll win some of them for sure. We can't predict right now because it's too early, but I know we are participating and we will certainly close some deals. So that is also looking very promising.
Sure, sure. And the second question is related to acquisitions. So any plans of acquisition in the coming months?
We are in dialogue with some prospects and target companies. None of them have matured to the level or stage where we need to make any announcement. But yes, we are in dialogue with a few companies for acquisition.
Sure, sure. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Bajaj.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of MK Reddy from MR Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, again, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, how many of your products are in development stage? We have six products mentioned in the presentation. Are these products development and testing phases completed? Now we need to ramp up our in-house sales and marketing teams. Just want to know, within the product, how many of them are still need to be invested? How many products still need investment? And how many products are development is completed and we need to ramp up the sales and marketing team, in-house sales and marketing teams?
Yeah. We all the products are already developed. We have the TrueCap Plus, TrueBot, IPM, TrueBI, and TrueFair. So now the investment in them is going into on two counts. One is incremental enhancement with newer technologies. So there's always new technologies. We are right now talking about artificial intelligence. So that keeps getting incorporated into these products. So that's one area of investment. The other is, of course, as you rightly pointed out, sales and marketing. So this year will be a lot more focus on sales and marketing because that's really what will drive revenue. The products are ready. The coverage we have received from analyst firms like Gartner, Everest, Forrester, these kinds of companies, it has been excellent. They've given us some very good ratings. Our customer feedback from these products also has been excellent, on the basis of which we've won several marquee logos, as I mentioned. So I'm very positive that it will see a good revenue stream in the years going forward. So to answer your question in a nutshell, a lot of the investment is done. Incremental improvement will keep happening, and the focus will be on sales and marketing.
Yeah, that's very helpful. Again, sir, this appreciates for the reducing this DSO, sir, which is 60 days in Q1 FY24. And my question is regarding this AFC, sir, automatic fare collection platform, which last year contributed 6% to our revenue. How do you see the margins and working capitals involved in this product, in this platform, when you sell it in India and now we are aggressive trying to sell in foreign markets, international markets also. Just want to know in terms of AFC, in terms of margins and working capital. Thank you.
So the margins, as I mentioned in one of my earlier calls, we chose to go very aggressive with our pricing because we wanted to capture a significant market share. That strategy was well executed. Today, I must say that Datamatics is in a pole position and we are a dominant player in AFC in India. So we our objective and strategy worked well. Now we are looking at a more correct pricing. Of course, we still remain need to be competitive, but our margins will improve because we are now correcting the pricing versus going aggressive. Point one. Point two is that we have started focusing a lot more in the international market, and we've got a good pipeline coming in there as well. The international margins tend to be much better, and therefore, and of course, you have the natural advantage of a dollar revenue versus a rupee revenue, so that gives you a benefit. In terms of working capital, it does consume a fair amount of working capital because these are semi-public sector kind of projects, and they're milestone-based billing. So the working capital.
So only I think working capital is consumed in the we are not able to, we are not able to bill because of this milestone. Once we bill, then normally these fair collection companies pay well in time, well within time. We are not experienced any delays in collections. The only issue with these last contract is basically milestone billing, which will remain I think at least for India part.
Yeah, very helpful. My last question is regarding this digital technology. For this quarter, we reported around 6.2% EBIT margin. When I looked at some of these product companies, they are having almost 25 to 30% of margin, and mature companies like Oracle, which is listed in India, they are having more than 40%. Just want to know when our investments will be certified and when will we reach this at least 25% margins from current 6.2%.
So as we Rahul explained earlier, this is not a completely product. When we talk about digital technology, it is a product plus services, and services are substantial portion of the revenue. So we really can't compare with product company as of now because our product revenue contribution in the whole digital technology is not so large. And therefore, we need to see services company. Second is that we are investing, money in these R&D and market, sales and marketing of product, which is also, to some extent, compromising these margins. And that's why the margins are low.
So on the products that we talked about, which is TrueCap, TrueBot, IPM, things like that, we talked about an investment of 40 to 50 crores. And that is what we are, quote unquote, bleeding, they'll be losing the money. So whatever new money comes in from revenues, we will spend on sales and marketing, and we'll maintain that 40 to 50 crore figure. At least for the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, foreseeable.
Yeah, got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ray.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Shah from AUM Fund Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Question was regarding, the new business from the hyperscalers. Rahul, just wanted to understand the product proposition, from Datamatics standpoint for these hyperscalers. And if you could give us a sense of, given the product and the future, how do you expect to see this, their wallet share or this market for you? So, get a sense of what's the growth kind of, possibilities over here, given that that's one of the large spaces you're targeting?
I follow the first question. I'm not sure I follow the second. Let me answer it anyway, then you can ask your question again, perhaps. So on the hyperscalers, which is focusing on Microsoft, Power Apps, Salesforce, AWS, low-code, no-code, these are hyperscalers because it has rapid growth. These pockets tend to grow at a substantially higher rate than the traditional IT services. If you look at traditional IT services, you're talking about, 2, 3, 4% growth, even maybe 6, 7% on the higher side. These hyperscalers are growing at about 30, 40% a year. So therefore, and in some very small pockets, they might even hit 50, 60% growth. Our strategy was to focus on these high growth areas because that will spur the rest of the company. The traditional legacy IT services is not the most exciting from a growth perspective. Right now the focus is on hyperscalers. It's still a small footprint. Our current footprint is not very large, and therefore you don't see the total impact on our growth. Although we are still growing in the IT space or digital technologies at 18.6% for this quarter, which is still a healthy growth. But with the hyperscalers kicking in, I expect that growth figure will be higher. As far as the second question is concerned, as I mentioned, I didn't really follow it. So if you could sort of ask that again, I would be happy to answer.
Sure. So the question was really, I think a follow-up to what you just mentioned in terms of, what's the current size with these hyperscalers? And you mentioned that you just now have a small footprint. So should we expect, for example, Datamatics' own revenue to grow in this 35 to 40% growth that these hyperscalers are currently experiencing? And what does that do to you in a sense? Are you looking to get more market share? Give it the, and, if we give us some sense of the competition that you face while accessing, this opportunity.
Yeah, so Datamatics, of course, will not, all of Datamatics is not in this hyperscaler space. So this,
sure.
So therefore, the overall impact will not be at a 30% growth. Having said that, these pockets are growing very rapidly. So digital technologies is one area, and within the digital technologies, we have the focus on hyperscalers, we have AFC, we have robotics and intelligent document processing, and then we've got some of the cloud and digital transformation services also, digital business operations and things like that. So these are all pockets within the digital technologies. Some of these pockets are growing very rapidly, and that's where we want to focus on. In terms of Datamatics, I think you'll see in about a year, year and a half, of course, assuming we don't have any macroeconomic challenges, I think we'll see a fairly healthy growth coming in. As I mentioned, we are getting some good marquee logos. Now, in terms of competition in the space, we are seeing competition, of course, with all the big guys. They're all there. But because the space is growing fast, the demand is high, and therefore we are able to capture a few good opportunities. Our initial pipeline was extremely promising, and we did come across some very good-sized deals, sizes in the range of even $2 or $3 million, but they, of course, they are still a pipeline. So we are seeing good sized deals, and we're seeing not as aggressive competition just because there's a latent market that's just absorbing every opportunity that you can.
And maybe the last follow up was, within digital technologies, how much would the hyperscalers be as a percentage? Within
okay,
that segment?
I don't have that breakup handy. I know it's a small footprint, but I don't have the number handy with me right now.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, I'd like to remind all participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Shreya, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
So, good evening, Rahul sir. My question is about the customers. So, we have heard that you have lost some major customers in this quarter. So, can you just give some clarity?
No. So, there was some kind of a false rumor and a false alarm that I don't know how it got triggered. We did on that give a clarification to the stock exchange. And I was on ET now as well, clarifying that stand. So we've not lost any major customer. Everything is business as usual. It was some kind of a false rumor that was there for some reason.
Okay, thank you. And one more question I have is about the AI market. So how do you see at AI market and what are the opportunities?
So the AI market is very vibrant. It's growing globally at about 40% CAGR right now. The world is investing very heavily in AI. But at the same time, there's a lot of fuzziness and confusion in terms of the direction because there are no very clear solutions that have come out yet. So these are all initial early days where there's a lot of exciting technology that's coming out. but people are still grappling with how to deploy it in the enterprise. In the consumer market, it's a little easier because it's not very critical to be absolutely accurate. But in the enterprise, you've got to have very high precision, and that's where there's some degree of lack of clarity in the global market in terms of the solution. Having said that, Datamatics has developed several accelerators. We've successfully piloted them. We are now taking them to our customers. And once we take them to our customers, we'll see what traction we are getting. But it looks promising. I think if you're looking at a 3 to 5 year horizon, AI will make a huge difference in this world of technology. Right now, it's not going to give you a result on a quarter-on-quarter basis. But a 3 to 5 year horizon will be important to look at. So I think we are well entrenched, and we've got a good team that's working in several areas in the world of AI.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir, for this clarity. Thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. A reminder to all participants present in this conference, if you have a question, please press star then one on your touchtone telephone. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference back to the management for their closing comments. Thank you, and over to you all.
Thank you, everyone, for participating on this quarterly call. I really appreciate the questions and answers and the interaction we've had. I look forward to meeting you again next quarter. And if you have any other questions, please feel free to reach out to any of us, and we'll be happy to give you more insights. Once again, thank you very much, and look forward to engaging with you again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Datamatics Global Services Limited, we conclude today's conference. Thank you all for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.